Welcome to episode 66 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is December the 30th, 2012, New Year's Eve Eve. I am Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is my brotastic brother, James Furlough.
Hey, I got my helicopter here, as you can hear.
Oh, man.
I'm holding it.
Are you holding? Okay.
Yeah, I'm holding it so it doesn't fly away. Because if I let go, it will fly away.
Oh, there it goes.
That's pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
It's a little thing. Obviously, I could hold it in my hand. And it's controlled using an iPhone app with a little dongle thing on it.
Oh, man.
Cool. And then what is neat is you can do it like using your two thumbs like a regular joystick, or do what I do, turn on the gyroscope, and then you still the throttle, you use your thumb, but then you control where it goes by rotating the phone itself.
That is very cool.
Pretty fun. I'm a horrible flyer. I hit walls all the time. But it's somehow it's designed to not be destroyed when you hit something, which is good.
Convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, and who got you that Merry Christmas gift?
Let's see here. It's my wife's aunt.
Nice.
So an aunt-in-law.
Hit it out of the park by the aunt-in-law.
Yeah. Pretty fun. I mean, I got a lot of fun gifts, but that one is particularly fun to show off.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
You get a boring gift for me. Books.
Books. And digital ones at that.
Books. Yeah, digital books. That's like the boringest of... That's all right. I got a bunch of... I got money for digital books, which is like the boringest of presents that you get really excited about nonetheless. You're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, cool. Books.
It looks exciting. Anyways, we are not here to talk about Christmas presents. A lot, maybe a little, but not a lot. But what we are here to talk about is what we talk about every week, which is technology and the continuing corporate opera, or the soap opera of corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and the technology they're developing. Wow, this is going to be a fun one, because this is our year-end/year-beginning show, where basically we talk about what happened last year, what happens next year, and we give you, I mean, honestly, I don't know why anybody listens to more than just this show, because we literally give you everything you need to know for the entire year.
Yeah, exactly.
This is it. This is all that's required, so hold on. But before we get into that, James does have a short disclosure he's going to throw at us.
Yeah, I've got two of them. The first one is I work for HP. However, I do not represent HP during this podcast, so these are only my opinions. And the second one is I was shocked with how well we did this year when going back and listening to the podcast.
Yes.
And so I'm a little nervous of the bar that we set, to be honest. Anyways. Those are my two disclosures.
I echo the second disclosure. If you want to follow us throughout the year, you, of course, can do that. We are all over the place. We are social media fanatics. Just Google us, or you can go to Twitter. I am at Matthew D. Furlough.
I am at James Furlough.
And that's our personal Twitters. I mean, like, that stuff is what matters in our lives.
It's sometimes as personal as Twitter gets.
Exactly. Sometimes we get all vague book on it, like, I was listening to this sad song, and it reminded me of you, .. And, you know.
Yeah, I don't do that, but that's good for you.
But I have friends that do that. I don't do that.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? But anyways, yeah, so that's good times. Check it out. Also, you can go to check out the show Twitter. It's at Furlough Rose, and I haven't updated in like a week. I feel kind of bad about that, but
it's it's been vacation week and whatnot.
Yeah,
so.
That's my excuse. I'm sticking to it. But we try to keep it up to date with new tech news and show news. One second.
just don't die. All right, we survived the Mayans, so don't die.
Yeah, man. I had like a bunch of people go to the emergency room this week on me. My best friend's grandma, my grandma, my sister. It's crazy. Our sister.
your grandma.
Yeah, our grandma.
Hmm. Did you not get that text? One of the benefits of living out of the area is you have no clue what's going on. Awesome.
Yeah, so that was fun. She's good, don't worry.
Good. I won't, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. So, anyways,
I'd like to think I would have heard about it if it were, like, really bad news.
Yeah, it's a good point. But, what was I going to say? Oh, by the way, anything you want to go through for the rest of the week, the center hub, it gets so distracted sometimes, is the furloughbros.com. Yeah, all the time.
It's part of why people love us.
The furloughbros.com, that's got all sorts of cool clicks and links and videos and basically everything we talk about throughout the show. We give you all the source articles so you can impress
listen
your friends.
Cobb.
Man, yeah, jeez, it is terrible. I don't know what's going on there. I haven't coughed in like a month until I got into the show. anyways,
of course.
I hope I didn't just get sick like as the show started. That'd be really unfortunate. Yeah, so go there and, like, you know, we say this almost every week, but if you like the show, tell a friend. Let them know. If you don't like the show, mind your own business.
So here's what we're thinking about doing order-wise. Starting off with our top 2012 stories, which basically what I did was – because it is such a great source. I went to furloughbros.com and looked at the very first show through the very last show of this year and literally looked through all the news articles and went, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was a big story, and compiled them all. So that's my source. So I live by what you say, Matthew. That is the tale of the tech.
Nice.
Lives there.
I get it. Yeah, so, by the way, we're not going to talk about any news that happened this week, because guess what? None happened.
Weird.
There were a couple of articles that I could have stretched into half a show, I think.
Yeah.
But it would have been a stretch, so I decided, let's not even bother. Let's talk about the fun stuff. So, let's get into this, James. Tell me what happened in 2012. Let's do a rundown and reevaluate. Because what's interesting is what I thought was going to be big stories and ended up not being. So let's do this.
Okay. So I attempted to group these into different groups. We'll see how it works. So there were some new CEOs. For example, Yahoo got a new CEO, Scott Thompson.
Nice.
Back in January.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That was. That's right. And he was there for 6 months.
And, you know, seven I think months? He made it eight. Yeah, something like that. Something like that. And then they got another CEO, obviously later in the year, Marissa Meyer from Google. Thompson, he was, if you remember, he was from PayPal, and then he ended up. He lied on his resume, or how was it? Yeah, ultimately that was what they called it. He lied on his resume about where he went to school or something like that, and they were like, "Oh, that's some offense."
Yeah, so but they basically they didn't like his performance, and they had a great excuse to get rid of him. So they did, and they replaced him with somebody who was much better looking. And also more talented, it looks like. I won't be entirely sexist. Dig myself out just a little bit.
So Yahoo, they're still in the middle of some transition, like they have been in the last like 10 years. but yeah, so they had I think they tied HP for two CEOs in a year. Awesome.
That's pretty good.
There was another company, your favorite company. Also got a new CEO, and this was another one that was like the very beginning of the year. This is going to be really hard to keep separate. But maybe I'll lay a hint. Somebody called it before it happened.
Yeah.
So RIM, they got the new CEO. he's got a name I can't. Hines is his last name, his first name I don't remember.
Nobody cares. He's
Rim
not
is
be
still around, unfortunately for me, because I didn't think they would be. But
yeah, that was a ding. That was a ding.
It hurts.
But it's like one of the only ones.
It hurts that they. I take it as a personal offense that that they managed to stay around. Yeah, it's awesome. So some other big stuff. Facebook did Facebook did like two big things. The first one was they went public, and
Only did two big things. That's totally they right. were instrumental in the overthrow of a number of governments this year. That was kind of a big deal. Or was that last year?
That was last year.
What?
Yep.
The Arab Spring was last year.
Well, no.
Holy cow.
Yeah, all the Wall Street protests and everything, that was the end of last year.
Holy cow.
Yeah, you're getting old, man. So they went public, and they bought Instagram, which I don't know if that counts as them doing something big other than they made a smart choice. I'm not going to put Poke into that list. I don't think that counts, honestly. gave up on HTML5. I don't know. That's a big deal or not.
Yeah.
Facebook, which, by the way, this is impossible. Again, we called that, or at least I said, that they were going – that the IPO was going to take up a whole lot of their time and energy and focus. And it would appear that that was the case.
Yeah.
Because they didn't really do much. We also had a bunch of deaths this year.
Yeah. Too bad this didn't get the crowning achievement on it, but you got some good ones.
Some good ones. Yeah. And obviously I didn't capture all of them. Like I said, I primarily pulled from the stories that we talked about throughout the year. So, this list is not meant to be exhaustive, just interesting, because that's what we're in. So, Encyclopedia Britannica, they were around for 244 years, and they are no longer printing. I count that as death.
That count. Wait, are they still doing a digital publication? No, they're done, right?
I'm pretty sure they're done. Well,
I say they lock the doors.
They're no longer printing books, so that part of them
right
is done.
Right. Which had to happen eventually. It's kind of crazy to think that there'd be like a day where they stopped printing.
it's the way it works.
I can say, it's got to be someday, so why not just pick one? But that's
Yeah. Another one, and I'm putting this in the category, is Dig. Dig is dead.
Yeah.
Now, yes, there is a website that you can visit, and yes, it does have news stories. There's no more digging, which is like... their thing.
it doesn't exist anymore.
Handily
won that one.
Yeah, kind of a surprise. Not a surprise. Google Wave is officially dead.
Oh, that was a bummer.
We knew that one was coming. Technically,
you
WebOS.
Sure, that one didn't happen in 2011 when Mubarak got overthrown. I can't believe that was 2 years ago. Oh my goodness.
Oh, man. WebOS is technically open source, but I'm going to call it dead.
Yeah.
I mean, that was their way of saying, because it's the internet, and when something dies, we could just put it on a website and ignore it. And, you know, the server costs, whatever. That's the equivalent of a death on the internet, really.
That really is.
No, we're not going to be actively developing it. Oh, okay. So you're dead. Microsoft officially killed off Zune, which had been on like life support its entire life.
Yeah, it really was, man.
Never one of those that just had Microsoft not been Microsoft, it never would have lasted a year. But you know, there it is.
Yeah, it just so happens that they have unbelievable amounts of money and can keep around stupid products. Which what's crazy to me is there's an entire chunk of our audience that's probably going, Zune's a great product. What are you talking about? Like, it had all sorts of features that the iPod Touch didn't, or the iPod didn't have.
Yeah.
You're like, you know what the problem is? Yeah, it probably was a great iPod competitor back in 2003. The problem is that by the time the Zune came out, we were like months away from the iPhone and the, you know, that revolution. Like, what chance did they have? It's crazy.
Crazy. A surprise to me, at least, was the Daily is dead. Yeah.
That one was born and died in this year, didn't it? Or was it just the end of... It came at the end of last year, didn't it?
Yeah, something like
that.
Because
we talked about
Steve Jobs was still alive.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Maybe that was the one. Goodness gracious. How is it possible?
You're getting older by the minute.
I know.
That's good to have these podcasts. It grounds you with where we are in the year.
Right. I keep talking about how great this year was. It's just a great year for news and this and that. It's possible I've just packed like 3 years of cool stuff into to 2012. It was a great year.
Funny.
It was wonderful. I had my 7th, my 8th, my 9th birthday, my 10th birthday. It was fantastic.
Man, it was so awesome. Yeah, really. So this one's a human. Neil Armstrong passed away. He also died this year. Which I would, that's in the tech realm for sure. Yeah. And then another sad one is officially Nintendo Power had their last issue in December this month. Yeah. So they are also dead.
I was walking through Fry's Electronics today, and I walked by the magazine section, and I was just looking at all the magazines. I just couldn't get over the idea of, why does this still exist? Who shops here? Why do people buy magazines? It doesn't make any sense to me. I got a free subscription through yours truly. Or no, that's not how it goes.
Wait, what?
I got a free subscription to Time Magazine through you for the last year. The problem, and
I could give them away or something like that,
right?
Yeah.
And I kept trying to read it, but the problem was I had already read everything in it by the time they published the magazine, and so it's just kept was like, oh, there's nothing new in that one. Throw away. it was crazy. It really solidified the fact for me that the only reason why you buy magazines is so you can hold a magazine. The information is there's more and quicker information out there on the internet. I mean, it's just it just seems so old nowadays. It's crazy. Magazines, I don't get. I get. The fact that Nintendo Power hung around for as long as it did is impressive in and of itself.
So I subscribe to, Wired Magazine, Fast Company, and I don't know if this counts, but Superman Comics.
Doesn't really count. That one feels different because you're talking about printed artwork, I guess. But
I don't know. They technically have an iPad app, so I don't have an iPad, I guess.
Yeah, see, but... I feel like I read all the same Wired magazine articles that you do. I just read them through Wired.com.
Probably. Oh, they're all available. When I find an article that I like, I immediately go online, look up the article, and share the link.
Right. It's crazy.
All right. Well, there you go. So I don't know why I get the magazines. Oh, I do, but that would be TMI on the show. So
yeah,
we just won't go there.
I appreciate that.
My wife gets a Real Simple magazine, which also comes with a free subscription to the iPad version of the magazine.
Nice.
Which we give the information to our mother so that she can read Real Simple on the iPad since we don't have one. So. And it's one of those catch-22s where I'm like, well, if I had an iPad, why would I get the paper version? Oh, if I don't get the paper version, I got to pay for the iPad version, which is actually more expensive than the paper version, or because of their pricing, it's weird. Anyways, so Nintendo Power died. In addition, there were some product releases. Did I miss any that you're like, James, you totally forgot this one. This is really important. I don't know if Kodak counts yet. I feel like
not really.
They're
still kicking. I think that they're going to make it to 2014.
Maybe. I don't know.
No. Hollywood Video. Was that this year?
No, they were.
I'm going to say. That feels like it was 5 years ago.
Yeah. So a lot of deaths. which is okay. Which is okay. Because it means, there's progress, innovation going on. Okay, so a couple companies released a couple products, and I literally have four big ones, and I know that there were a ton others, but there you go. So Apple, And we'll get more into this about our predictions, because we spent an inordinate amount of time talking about them because we like them. they ended up releasing the iPad. They released the iPad Generation 3.
Yeah.
And then a little later, Generation 4.
Yeah, which I'll be honest, that one, listening to the show again, I would have gotten, if you had suggested that they were going to release two iPads in 2012, I would have been, nope, not going to happen. Not possible. Not going to happen. So that actually, I'll count that as a negative one half, because I didn't technically predict it wrong, but I would have. Hardcore.
Yeah. They also released the iPad Mini. Like I said, we'll talk more. We'll get more into this when in the next segment. They released the iPad Mini. They also released an iPhone 5. They did a bunch of other products as well, MacBooks and whatnot. If you are listening to this show and don't know about that, cool.
Go furtherbros.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Check it out.
Microsoft, they released the Surface, Windows 8, and I guess also technically the Windows Phone 8. I kind of put all those together as one group. So they did that. Jury's still semi out on how successful that is.
Yeah. I say
semi because everyone kind of knows, but yeah, we haven't heard the official word from the soft micro on, yeah, you know, just how bad it is. So there's that, which, oh, this is going to be so much fun. Let's see here. Google, it's funny. I mean, they teased us with Project Glass. They actually released the Nexus 7, and then later in the year released the Nexus 4, which is technically a phone, and then the Nexus 10 tablets. They also kind of released Fiber if you lived in the right place. Otherwise, they just teased you about that. Project Glass obviously sounds amazing and cool. They're making progress with their cars as well.
Glass is the heads-up display, right?
The goggles, yeah. Is that what you
mean?
Yeah,
which is different from Microsoft's Glass, which is an Xbox app for every platform.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah, so, and Google, you know, obviously they do a bunch of stuff. They also had a whole bunch of spring cleaning things, and will continue doing that, I'm sure. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, Amazon. If you haven't noticed, there is a trend here. They released new HD Kindle Fires and a particular product that you like, the Paperwhite.
Oh, baby. E-reader. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm sure any others that you feel deserve to be mentioned.
New products that got launched this year?
Yeah.
I don't know. The Tesla, the Model S, pretty sweet. And that, which one, you know, Car Trends Car of the Year, which is a huge deal. I mean, that actually is a really big deal because it's the first electric car to do it.
I watched super nice car. The like demo videos of that car, and who cares if it's electric or not? That car is awesome.
I know. I
like the double hinge back doors, how they open and then like go up so that they're like DeLorean style, but won't hit the car next to you because it folds on itself, and you can like just literally like walk into the car. That's pretty awesome.
The gigantic like touchscreen displays for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're, you know, oh man, so nice. It's such a nice car. Oh.
It's one of those where they said, let's pretend our customers could care less about price. What would we add to a car?
Which is pretty much what they've done with both cars so far.
Yeah, yeah. Which and, is why, you know, I won't get one.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, even if I could afford one, I'd have to wait in line for a year and a half. But they're... Yeah, I'm trying to think of any other big pieces of technology. I mean, outside of... I don't know if this really counts as a product release, but obviously Google's automated cars really, you know, taken to the, yeah, they've been legalized in a couple of states, which is convenient since they've been driving around in quite a few of them.
Yeah. So I mean, and Google's notorious, right? For, I mean, they're gonna release a product and you're going to go, yep, we've known about it because you guys just have to tell us about it. Which, you know, which is fine, which is okay.
Yeah.
It works for them. Gets me excited. So it's okay. There were a couple other, I'd call them cultural events, for lack of a better word. They're not really tied to a singular company, per se. So we had SOPA and PIPA and the defeat, the defeation of them.
They were defeated.
Thank you.
Damn.
You know, that was when websites went black and dark and stuff like that, with a little explanation explaining how horrible it was.
So have you ever read the book The Lord of the Rings?
No. If I have to be honest.
Have you ever seen the movies?
I have, yes.
Okay. So since this is the Further Bros and we have to do a movie review at some point.
Dude, I just watched Men in Black 3 last night. That movie's amazing.
I've heard it's really good. I actually really want to see
it. It's amazing.
I've heard it's dramatically better than the second one, and at least people have said that they like it more than the first.
Yes. Yes.
Really? Okay, I gotta see it.
It's amazing.
Done. It's decided. I have to see it. But the what was I gonna say? So Galadriel, who is the elfin queen that they go and check out, and she gets all freaky deaky with her, like, when Frodo offers her the ring.
I passed the test. I can die now.
You have a beautiful queen. Yeah. She's anyways. So in the book, she talks about what they're doing, and she describes it as they are fighting the long defeat, which is, and we will continue to fight until we're defeated, which is essentially to say that the elves don't believe that, you know, they're trying to keep good in the world and keep beauty in the world, and they don't believe that they can ever actually succeed. They think Galadriel at least thinks that eventually evil, corruption, and darkness will be pervasive, and all they can do is fight until they're defeated and fight as long as they can. So they're fighting the long defeat. The reason I bring that up is because that's basically what we did with SOPA, PIP, and ACTA, which was one more battle in the long defeat of our, you know, privacy and personal freedom on the internet. So that's fun.
So that's awesome. Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, it was a big success. There was a lot more awareness, and, you know, if nothing else, it was a big success. You know, I don't want to rain on the parade too much, but it also is important to remember that, you know, if this is something that you value, you can't rest on your laurels. It's not like we won.
Right.
We just haven't been defeated yet.
Yeah.
So.
No doubt. Let's see here. Oh, you're going to love this. So the God Particle.
Oh, man. Why would we call it that?
I know. Because it bugs you. And I'm your older brother.
Touché.
Higgs boson. Boson? Boson? I can't remember.
Boson
was discovered, and we looked at a bunch of really cool pictures of the machine that made it possible.
The Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah, that's the one.
I like how they call it the large one. It's like,
as opposed to the small one.
I was gonna say it's like the biggest scientific factory in the world. It's pretty large. Yeah, I'd say that is a good descriptor. Nice job, guys.
Yes, good job. Yeah. So that happened. Which, if I remember correctly, they were actually kind of bummed because they're like, "Oh, it was there like we expected."
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody was like, "Well, would have been nice if we were wrong, but
yeah, because that would have been interesting." But instead, we were right.
Exactly, and everybody expected. See, what they were hoping for, this is what they were really hoping
for.
What they were really hoping for was that there wouldn't be that, because that, if it is the Higgs, well, Higgs gets the Nobel Peace Prize. There's no competition. There's just the dude who came up with the idea. Now it's proven, so he gets it. If he's wrong, that means that it's totally open again, and they can all go, you know, now all the physicists can get back in on the race. You know, maybe I'm the one who'll figure it out and get the Nobel for it. that's not how it worked. Probably this next year. That actually will be exciting to see if that happened early enough for the for the committee to get on it and award it. It might take a little while before they get the get that one. It'll probably be a group of people too, but it'll be fun, exciting.
That is also exciting. Was Curiosity landed on Mars? In addition to that, in and of itself being interesting, most of the people watching watched it online, not on TV.
Which was crazy. There was an unbelievable amount of people that watched him. It was actually, I was on Reddit.
And when I say watching, it's like the landing, which is kind of crazy to be like, we're watching a remote robot land on a different planet.
Right.
On the internet.
Right. And it's a good time to be alive. No, that whole thing was nuts. Nutty. Curiosity. I don't know if there's much more to say outside of it's just a really impressive, incredible feat of, you know, human achievement. It's in and of itself, the fact that, like you said.
I also really like Curiosity's Twitter feed. It's just funny and fun. Whoever's in charge of it, doing a good job. I like it.
You know, and that's really the capstone on this whole cultural, you know, human achievement, right? It's not just that, you know, we've built the internet, we've gone to Mars, we're live streaming stuff between it, and that people are engaged. It's Curiosity has a Twitter, and it's funny. It's awesome. And then the only one I was going to add to that is SpaceX, which is another one of Elon Musk. That's funny. The two you stories like that I'm adding to your list are Elon Musk's addition. But basically, they delivered a payload to the International Space Station this year, and so that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, which represents the beginning of the privatization of spaceflight.
Right, which is, you know, not a terrible thing by a lot of people's assessment. What's interesting, our cousin, one of our cousins, who works in the hospitality field, has served Elon Musk and met him, and when she found out that I have a bit of a
man crush
on him, she she let me know that if at all possible, next time he's in the area doing stuff, she might try to help me out. I don't exactly know what that means. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get to meet him, but I might get something signed by him. That'd be pretty cool. I put that on my wall.
Yeah, no doubt.
But
that's funny.
Yeah, I was totally jealous. I was like, you got to. Oh my god! I gotta go into hospitality. She gets to meet the coolest people. It's lame. I work with robots. What the heck? I get to meet cool people. But yeah, no. It was a good year. It was exciting. Even as I clarify and remember that not everything I thought happened this year.
A lot goes on in a year. And, it was very cool.
Definitely.
So this is the part of the show where we transition to our predictions. What did we say last year? How close did we come? What I did, it sounds like you did the same thing.
I just listened to the tape. I didn't actually write anything down. So you have notes. Okay.
So I took notes because I am that kind of student.
You're way better at this than I am.
That's okay. You were the one who had the idea, and I was like, oh yeah, I should listen to this show, shouldn't I? So I did. And so we said a couple things, and so I took, like I said, I took notes because I don't like to memorize things. So the question is, how did we do? So you listened. Do you have just like a preliminary grade on what you would give yourself, us?
That's tough. If I were going to be hypercritical, I'd give it a B. But considering the fact that we were predicting the future, I'd give it a solid A minus. You know, it wasn't excellent. We didn't get everything right, and there were a couple that just were, you know, flat out wrong, but the number of little details that we picked up that we called and the number of things we didn't miss, that's the other thing that I was pretty stoked about. It was just like, you know, particular product names and, you know, price points and, you know, stuff like that we just like, man, I felt like in a large, to a large degree, we did about as good a job as you could do. But tell me, that's my overview. And as long as nobody listens to the actual podcast, they'll be forced to believe it. But do you have any actual examples
or anything? I do. So one of the first thing that we talked about was the iPad, and yes, the question is, what's it gonna be? One of the first ones that we brought up was, do you think there'll be a 7.9-inch iPad? And I was like, that makes no sense. Why would they do that?
I did hear that one.
Right out the gate.
We sort of missed the iPad mini. We just kind of...
Yeah.
Well, you know what the problem was? And it was... I think if you had asked me, do I think there could be one in 2014... I think I would have said I probably wouldn't have given it 100%, but I'd give it a 60-70%, because by that point, later in that, we did talk about the idea of making a bigger device, or, you know,
yes,
an in-between device, something bigger than the iPad or the iPod Touch, but smaller than the iPad.
Specifically said a 4-inch iPod Touch would be good. So we were right on that one. I missed that on the phone.
Or didn't mention
it on the phone, I should say.
It's funny. It was like we started talking about it, and then I was like, wait, this is going to come in with the iPhone, so let's get back to this topic later, and then never got back to it.
Yeah.
But we both said a 4-inch iPod Touch, and that it's a sister product to the phone. To me, that counts as – I count that as a check mark right there. That
we
was
also,
clearly what we were intending.
Yeah, we also knew that they were going to come out with a new version. We said that the iPad 2 was going to be sticking around and that it would get a price drop. I think we were a little off on our price drop.
You got the price drop because you said it was either going to be half the price of the device or $100, and you bet it on $100. I said the price point that made sense, the highest price you could charge for a low-end tablet was $250, and that's what Apple would do with the iPad 4. Obviously, I was wrong, but that's the price point that Google went with the Nexus 4. Was right in that ballpark, about $250. So to me, I like, okay, yeah, we got the wrong product, right? But you got Apple's intention, and I got the price point on what's a comfortable price point. Once again, considering that we were predicting the future, that was pretty good. That's pretty good.
We also asked about the name of it, and we were both like, we don't know what they're going to call it, which is kind of funny because they ended up just dropping it all together. We went, oh, well, there you go. That's why we didn't know, because it didn't exist.
Right.
we were pretty sure it would be a Retina display, but we had a couple concerns about the battery life and, you know, actually being able to display it. And we were like, we don't know how they're going to do it. But if they do, it's going to have a ridiculous battery, which it apparently does.
And then we were talking about
the different, they ended up, like I said, doing a crazy thing with the display too. And we didn't know how they were going to do that, but they knew that was what they would have to do in order to do it.
Right. I would say that the battery prediction, the battery problem, is that's a lot of the times when I said, no, I don't think they're going to have this new technology, it was all came down to battery concerns. How are they going to LTE? How are they going to have enough battery? You know, what's it called? You know, Retina display. How are they going to have a big enough battery? And then actually the solution I said in the show was they'll make thicker devices. They'll just put more battery.
Right.
When the reality of it is, they created a new way of forming the battery so that they were able to fit like 30% more battery into both of those devices, because they're no longer square batteries. They actually fit into the nooks and crannies and rounded corners of the devices. So there's actually basically what, you know, so it's like, I don't know. That was, I, 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 I didn't see that new technology coming. Yes, I did miss that one. But the fact was the gateway technology for that, and when I say gateway, I mean the gateway or the bridge technology was probably the better term. But you know, the idea, the technology that needed to occur in order to allow them to do those things was a better battery, and that's exactly what they did. They right. just did it in a, you know, in a very, you know, clever way that allowed them to keep the size of the device down.
Mm-hmm. We also agreed that they would keep the home button and the metal back. It's one of those in retrospects you go, duh. But at the time, we didn't know.
Yeah. Well, everybody was like talking about the, you know, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be the teardrop with the carbon fiber bags. Well, it was feverish, everybody thought. Mm-hmm. But stay the course.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. iOS 6, this is funny. You thought that they would only enable Siri on like the 3G iPads. And I was like, nah, they'll do it for all of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get that one.
We said for FaceTime, they would enable it to work on 3G, but it would be up to the carriers to turn it on. That was exactly what happened.
Yep.
AT&T. And we also talked about how they, you know, they'd have thousands of APIs, but Retina would be the selling feature. Turned out to be true. I said that they were going to bring Retina to the MacBook Pro. You said no. But conditional.
Yeah, which
I don't remember what, but
well, it was. I said that they need. There was the IGZO screens. It was the new technology screens, and I basically said they gotta. You know, you gotta have something crazy with the screens. I think you gotta have better screens,
and they did.
Yeah. So
there you go. Lesson learned. We talked about the iPhone 5, which we agreed that they would call it the 5. We said that it would have a metal back, but still have the bands. We talked about a bumper being built in. That didn't happen.
Yeah, which in retrospect seems kind of dumb.
And then you did not think they'd have 4G unless there was a new battery. They had a new battery, so it had 4G. And then we said it would come out in October.
I can say, we did. It was pretty. We nailed that one. It was not difficult, but what I thought was interesting about the LTE, we changed that prediction 2 weeks later because Verizon came out during CES 2 weeks later and was like, no new phones will come onto our network without LTE. And we're like, well, it's done then. It's gonna have LTE. So. But I had forgotten that I said they wouldn't have LTE because we'd been talking for an entire year. We'd been saying, obviously, it's going to have LTE because Verizon won't let them sell the phone if it doesn't. And so I was like, oh, dang it. I recalled us nailing that one. And then I listened to the show and I was like, yeah, that's a half point. That's really only half point because I hedged on the battery. Dang it.
Here's one we got completely wrong. We thought they were going to release an actual television.
Yeah.
And then we made a whole bunch of guesses about that, which I stopped paying attention to because they didn't.
Yep, I skipped through it too.
let's see here. Android. We thought that they would stay steady. Yeah, steady the course. Nothing like ridiculous. We knew that they would, or we thought that they would have some sort of voice control, which they do. And we knew that they were going to come out with the Nexus tablets, but we wouldn't buy it. So we were right on both of those.
I remember saying, I'm really excited about it, and I am still excited about it, and I'm still not buying it.
It is cool, fun to play with. We thought that Google and Motorola would actually start collaborating a little bit more.
Which it looks like
has been like nothing.
Well, it looks like what it looks like was this last year was very much dedicated to figuring out Motorola and their place in they fired so many people. There was a lot of shakeups. It looks like Motorola will have their first big launch next year that's really tightly done with Google engineers and the Motorola engineers. We were off on timing on that one, you know, which I guess is the importance of making predictions for the year. Really, the timing is pretty important. But overall, the direction, the hang up there was they had to fire a ton of people. It sort of slowed things down for a year.
Seriously.
Clearly, that's their intention, I guess, is my point. You know.
And then we also thought that third-party OEM partners would keep going with Google as opposed to jumping to Windows 8, and that has remained very true. We didn't really talk much about who was going to be actually successful.
Yeah, we didn't even mention making Samsung. Money. Yeah.
But, you know, there's that. We talked about Google Plus a little bit. I don't know. Huddles and on-air stuff this year, so
right.
I didn't see that coming, and we have benefited immensely from that.
I thought our talk about Google Plus was dead on, because like at that point, Google Plus is really getting trampled for not being very good, and we talked about that. We brought up the fact that the intention is to integrate it into everything,
right.
And you're not supposed to have to use Google Plus. It's just supposed to be pervasive in all of their stuff, and that's been a huge thing this year, getting everybody onto Google, their Google Plus identity, and having that tied to all of your different accounts, and it mm-hmm. just tethers. It is the central glue to the entire thing. I don't know. I mean, it kind of felt like a lame part of the thing, but it's just because I think we nailed it so solidly exactly what was going to happen that it's okay. That's not even fun, because that's 1.5 points. We did such a good job on that one.
I like it. One, we asked, will RIM exist this time next year?
Jeez.
I said no, they'll get bought. You, on the other hand, said they will still exist, but the CEOs will not, because investors will stick it out with them out of blind loyalty.
Did I really say that? I didn't actually get to that part of the show.
Yep.
I thought I predicted the... Whoa, really?
That's what you said.
I thought I... Wow. I forgot. That's cool. I got so wrapped up in the "it's over" mantra like early in this year that I forgot that I actually nailed that one.
Well, that was because you said the CEOs will not, and like it was later that month that came out that they got, you know, they left
a new CEO,
and then it was like, oh, you know what? Oh wow, man, this is happening fast, and that was where I was like, that's right. Keep it going.
That's right. That's what happened. Yeah, I expected the CEOs to get replaced like in June, July, and they'd give the new one six months to a year. Whereas, okay, that's right. And where, yeah, you're right. It was like that first month that I was like, well, we're moving. Let's do this.
Yeah.
But they still get a year, you know. And mm-hmm. okay, all right. Interesting.
We said something about Intel, but I was distracted, so I didn't write any notes or actually pay attention.
Well, yeah, and you didn't care about it during that show either. You even mentioned the fact that you were like, I don't really know anything about it, so I don't care. What the heck? This is important.
So I keep it going.
Basically what I said was, and this was a good one, I said, Intel wants to collaborate with Apple. If it doesn't happen this year, it will never happen, because they're going to get so entrenched with their own designs on the ARM architecture. And what's interesting is this year, and I didn't talk about the story because we were talking about other, it was a week where just crazy stuff happened and it didn't come up, but I thought it was a good story. But Apple completely moved away from anybody else's architecture. They're licensing the ability to, they're licensing the methods in which the machine code actually translates the kernel, which they need to do in order to run the Linux kernel, but they're not actually using an ARM architecture anymore. Ah. It's just, it clones what ARM does with a completely separate architecture. And so basically, like, you know, it was this idea that Apple has gotten to the point where they're so far beyond anything that Intel can help them with, that if Intel didn't close the deal last year, the only thing that they'll do from now on is act as a actual manufacturer for Apple, but Apple will never go with Intel, because they do all their own designs. They're a direct competitor with Intel. They don't borrow technology from anybody anymore. And you know, so that bridge came and passed, and I nailed that one.
Job.
And it's the doom of Intel. It's going to end Intel's supremacy. So that's kind of a big deal, but you know, just me. I'm the only one who thinks that, evidently. But
it's Facebook. Facebook. You thought they were going to come out with a phone. I did not, but my reason was because they were going to spend all their time going public, not that they weren't interested in it.
You made the argument that they're going to spend a lot of time getting really deep integration and great apps. And I said, I think they're going to try to make a phone because they want to. But I think that really deep integration and, you know, having the best app on every phone and being deeply integrated might be good enough. And turns out that that's what happened. They mm-hmm. They decided to not do the phone. And I agree with you. I think it's entirely because of the IPO. But they ended up completing that goal of every phone is a Facebook phone now, you know, Facebook is directly integrated into the notification center of the iPhone. It's unbelievably integrated into Windows 8, and you can all get all sort, you know, an Android the way, you know, because of how Android works, you can turn an Android into a Facebook phone by having all these different supporting apps. I mean, they did what they wanted to do, mm-hmm. and they don't actually have to compete with anybody else. They won. So I'll give myself a negative half on that.
And then we talked about Windows 8 a little bit. We thought that, I don't know how to feel about that one, because we didn't see the Surface coming. No one really saw that coming. And we thought that they were going to make compromises, and turns out they wouldn't.
Right.
No compromises, as they put it.
Right.
You know, because we were like, well, they can get rid of the registry and, you know, upgrade it to a more modern operating system. And
well, they did. I mean, in large degree, they did do a lot of that. They just didn't make a big deal out of it because it turns out RT is stupid and can't get on powerful enough hardware. Which
we did say that that was going to be the case.
Right, and we talked about the fact that we mentioned they're going to sell millions and millions of copies of Windows 8. The problem is they're not going to sell as many as they should, and it's going to be horribly reviewed. Which I mean, like on every, you know, I tried really hard to be optimistic, and I actually think I became more optimistic as the year went on about it. But you know, the reality of it is that it doesn't do as well as it should, and it just, you know, and I thought we did a pretty good job on that one. You know, obviously we didn't get the Surface, but they kept that one pretty tight to the chest up until, you know, about halfway through the year. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
I stole from an article about HP on like, they were like the five things that HP needs to do to have success this year. was kind of the title of it. The first one was solidify their cloud strategy. I don't know. I think they have a strategy. Can HP execute on it is a different question. Sort out tablet and phone game plan. Yeah, really.
They still need to do that.
They know they need to have a game plan, so there's progress.
Right. That is a good point. Step one.
Affirm PC commitment. Yeah, they did that. I like this one. Make autonomy pay off big. Not exactly. No.
Well,
they
the
did
new
not.
CEO.
And I actually thought that they, for whatever reason, I was like, oh yeah. I was like, yeah, they totally will. It's going to be awesome. I was wrong. I'll admit it.
Yeah.
My own company.
Yeah.
I drank the Kool-Aid. I'm sorry. HP, come on.
Come on, guys.
Well, this one, man. That's the kind of thing, too. It just hurts. You know, you're like, that should have been right.
Right.
Anyways. And then show management accountability. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that one either. This is just way too personal, which is probably why I took it from another article, because I get emotional about it. I think they're trying, but no, not really.
Yeah, and Meg Whitman is, you know, I don't know. It's tough. She hasn't been there long enough, you know.
Yeah, that's what she hopes everyone keeps saying.
I know.
For like two more years. That's what she hopes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
5 years from now, give me a little more time, okay?
A little time. I'm still new. I'm still building my team out. We're getting that cloud strategy together. Just wait it out. She's trying. She wants wet until the end of 2014. That's her bet. If HP, here's the one. If HP doesn't turn around by the end of 2014, she's out. That's my
man.
Well, she pretty much wrote her own ticket, right? That's what she said, essentially. She's like, I have a plan, but it's going to take until 2014 for it to come into effect.
Right. So which don't means, fire me in 8 months, please.
Yeah, which I don't blame her for saying that, because HP's shown a tendency to do that
yeah.
of late. Let's see here. Okay, I talked about how in 2011, this is kind of funny, was the year of photo sharing.
Yeah.
So it was 2012. But I thought it was going to be about the interest social network. I gave examples like Pinterest and that other one, what's it called? Quora, as like these types of networks will start to take off. I didn't really see, I mean, Pinterest obviously blew up big time. But that whole interest thing just kind of fizzled out for whatever reason. Photo sharing was kind of a bigger deal.
Photo sharing is still crazy. I mean, it's interesting.
I know. You got Snapchat and that other one, and which is like, it's photo sharing but different.
It's yeah,
weird. It's weird. It just it makes you think.
And the Instagram debacle, you know, and Facebook, and I mean, all of this, it's just such a big thing. I mean, we've had plenty of stories over the last year about, you know, Google goggles and what that has to do with the way we see the world, you know, in a similar way of, you know, what was that one article? It's like the future is about vision in a literal sense. How do we deal with photos? How do we deal with how we see the world? That's what the big thing that we're still trying to sort out. I mean, the winners and losers over the next decade are going to be determined by the guys that deal with photos and videos right and best. And which is interesting. I mean, I think we felt like 2011 had kind of, okay, we've got it. We've got photos kind of taken care of. And I think what 2012 showed us, and I don't really think anybody necessarily I don't remember reading anything early, you know, late 2011, early 2012. I would say photos are going to be an even bigger deal this year than they were last year. And realistically, everybody thinks they're going to be a bigger deal in 2013 than they were this year. We don't know when this is going to stop. It just keeps kind of getting bigger. But it's, you know, at the same time, when you think about it in the context of the most powerful sense that we have, really and truly, you know, and this people will argue till the end of time, but one of the most important senses that we have is sight. And you can see it in evidence of people who lose sense of smell or touch or taste do not get super sight, whereas people who lose their sight get super hearing and super senses. It takes so much of the brain activity to do all the signal processing of being able to see, and it's such a vital organ, and it becomes such an important part of our language and how we see the world, ironically. Like, that's it's part of the lexicon. In everything we do, we talk about sight, and one of the most, you know, and so what we're talking about is literally how do we augment vision, you know, and words are interesting because it's a different, and I don't consider words sight necessarily, except that, you know, what was the retina screen about? It was about getting pixel density down to the point where you can't see the pixels on words.
Right.
Words have all of the smooth, I mean, it's all about sight. And pictures and how we deal with pictures and so I think that, you know, and even last year, you know, last couple of weeks, we've been talking about, you know, my strategy for keeping my own photos and how, you know, Instagram, because to us, you know, I made the comment of the guys that are going to figure it out are the guys that replace the photo album. When the photo album goes away because somebody has figured out how to do it better on the internet, then all of a sudden that's the one that wins. Whoever does that wins. And nobody has turned over the photo albums in place of Facebook or in place of, you know, nobody's trying to get all their photos out of a photo album so that because it's better online. And which to me just, I don't know. I think where we were wrong about 2012, and if I had to say, like, you know, real cultural, one of the things I think was, okay, this, I have two thoughts going on. First thought, one of the interesting things about our predictions that I thought was how much we talked about culturally what different companies are doing, what the society at large is doing, what different countries are doing, how those things all kind of played out. And we were really good about talking about this is where they go. We might have missed a few details here and there, but the general trend was almost always right. The big one we missed was the future of vision and the idea of how big this is getting and how this is the next nut to crack for a lot of people. How do we deal with sight and how do we deal with how we interact with sight? Which conveniently brings us to the end of last year's predictions and into this year's predictions. Because even though I'll be honest, I don't have a specific technology or company that I think is going to crack sight in 2013, but I think it's a big part of every company's strategy, and it's one of the cultural movements that we're going to continue to follow through 2013. How do different companies deal with pictures, videos, and delivering those, and capturing those, processing those? And so I don't know if you want to just get into this, but...
That's a good question. So I gotta... I'm gonna maybe back into it. It's going to sound totally random, but it's not.
Okay.
So last week we got distracted during the podcast about Snapchat and Poke. They were doing exactly what they're supposed to do. And then we got into conversations afterwards about it. And we really liked the video component of it. And so I started experimenting. You know, I sent you some pictures and video over Poke and Snapchat. And then I started sending you videos over iMessage.
Yeah.
And we started chatting back and forth that way. What'd you think of that overall?
I really liked it. I liked it enough where I sent a lot of people specifically that I knew had iPhones, so it would all go over data. But I shared a bunch of videos where I would text short videos of me saying what I needed to say. Literally, I sent our mom one. Because we had some of the most delicious food known to mankind, sourdough biscuits left over, and I needed them to deliver them to a friend. And so I texted a video to our mom, hey, make sure that some of these are left over so that I can deliver this. And I did that a lot, and I enjoyed it. And people commented on it. It was like kind of cool. And I said – and I made the comment of like what I like about it is it's basically it's texting FaceTime. It's – bits of information that you send via video. I think it's not perfect in that you have to click the button and do this and do that and have it do this and kind of there's too many steps to get it to the point where you can text it. It's not really fluid, but man, it's one of those things where I suddenly sat there and went, you know, if we could find a really good app that, you know, man, it's unfortunately because this is one of those ones where Android really takes over, because it would be great if you could write an app that basically allowed you to, you hit a button, you said you wanted to text and it recorded the video and you had dialogue conversations and it goes over texting if it needs to, and it can kind of do everything in line, but basically remake a texting app, but include really quick, easy video inputs. But I really liked it. I thought it was really kind of fun, and I intend to do it more because it's, you know, especially if you just, you know, if I'm in a texting conversation, you know, which is definitely different than, you know, than this. Or it's a different thing where I'm just casually texting somebody. But if I'm like organizing something or I want to just get there quick, man, I totally am going to do that because it's really fast. You get a lot of words out, and It's remotely safer when you're driving down the road. It's at least as safe as Siri, you know.
True.
And there's so much more information that gets packed into it because you get all the facials and you can actually show videos of other stuff. I don't know. I just, for whatever reason, it had never occurred to me. And I think the key is keeping them short, keeping them under 10 seconds. That was the beauty of – I guess that's what Snapchat and Poke showed us is – as long as they're short, they're really useful, and that's what it is. You know, they're short, so they're useful.
And I realize that too. Part of their whole thing is, you know, non-permanence. Watch them once and they delete.
Right.
I would be okay if they gave me, like, let me watch it two or three times, gave me a 24-hour window. You know, something like that. Just because sometimes I listen to it and you're like, oh, wow, that was fast. Can I listen to it again? Nope. I guess not. That was just entertainment and I didn't get entertained.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, it's not the video part of it, at least. It's not ready.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's why I say, like, you know, kind of a combination of the ease of use of the poke, but with the permanence of texting. If you could combine those two, that would be powerful. I would use that all the time. Use it exclusively. I wouldn't text anymore. And I would switch over to primarily video. I would try to get away from – it's a better system. It's better. And, I don't know how else to say that. I don't know if that one's going to take – I don't think that one's going to take off in 2012. I highly doubt it.
13.
I feel like that's going to take off in 2017 and, you know, sometime in the next 5 to 10 years where you send short video messages instead of – but – I got the feeling after this last week that was kind of cool. That was unique. That was better. What I like about Poke is that you can vary. The first option is, do you want to send a text, a picture, or a video? And if you could do that where
or
that's
literally how, just poke the person.
Right. Yeah. hey, poke. If that were the case. They were permanently archived and unless you deleted them, that would be a great app. That's what the app needs to be. It's interesting. It's definitely a fascinating new fold on the whole thing. And, it'll be interesting to see if that takes off more and more, or if it follows another path that, you know, where other apps figure out how to include functionality like that, and texting never catches up because it gets preempted by something else. We'll see. I like it though.
P.S. I also made a throwaway comment during last week's show talking about how little disconcerting it was that Facebook just copied them.
Yeah.
And Om Malik, who is the founder of GigaOm, wrote an article later in the week saying, like, is anyone else concerned about the fact that Facebook's just ripping off other companies and buying stuff that are not innovating anymore? Like, yes, as a matter of fact, yes. I am.
Yeah, there are other people that are concerned. Thanks for listening.
Appreciate it. Or yeah. Set your sources. No, I'm kidding. where were we? That's interesting for sure. And definitely not over by any stretch of the imagination. Just real quick, other tech breakthroughs that were mentioned. You did talk about the OLED glasses, which didn't really happen, but goggles.
It made a big jump this year. I mean,
true. And then you also had a wish that batteries would improve, but you went probably not.
You know what? Except though, you know, the iPhone is the only flagship phone that doesn't have wireless charging now, and stupid Apple. I can't believe they managed.
Because Phil Schiller says it's dumb until they do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It is dumb until
do you think?
But at the same time,
we'll get that.
They did make big improvements on the battery. I mean, the battery's getting better. The problem is that, you know, as soon as they come up with a better battery, they increase the amount of LEDs and silicon, and they and they use it all up, so it doesn't last very long.
Yeah, that's how they work. So that was the show. Basically, hour in.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's
your recap. So I guess you didn't have to listen to us this last year. I'm kidding.